course, it is the first Ekadasi in the month of Kartik or Damodar. But it has special significance for us because it is the day on which Srila Prabhupada completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This set of books was originally published in 17 volumes, and it is a most important work, the most important work on the life and precepts of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so every devotee should read it. Actually, every devotee should read every book of Srila Prabhupada's, beginning with Sri Ishopanishad, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the Nectar of Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Although Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is, it has quite a range of topics, but it is a very advanced book. And we will read from the end of it. Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On this date, Sri Rama Ekadasi, in 1974, we went up the stairs to Srila Prabhupada's quarters in the E block in the back, as usual. Every morning at 6 o'clock, Srila Prabhupada would go for a walk on Juhu Beach. But this time, we were surprised to find that the door was locked. In fact, both doors were locked. And we could not understand why. So we knocked on the door And eventually, Srila Prabhupada's secretary, Harikesh Prabhu, opened the door and told us that Srila Prabhupada had just completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he had written the most beautiful glorification of his Guru Maharaj at the end, that Srila Prabhupada was in a very jubilant mood, and that he said that we should celebrate by having a feast. So now I shall read Srila Prabhupada's concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya Era 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Rama Ekadasi, we have now finished the English translation of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend. Although according to material vision, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, passed away from this material world on the last day of December, 1936. I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani, His words. There are two ways of association, by Vani and by Vapu. Vani means words, and Vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not, but Vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the Vani, not the physical presence. The Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the Vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer physically present from the materialistic point of view, the Bhagavad Gita continues. So, in the very first sentence, Srila Prabhupada sets the theme for his concluding words by saying that He had completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. The order, the instruction, the words, although Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had passed away on the last day of December in 1936, Srila Prabhupada was still connected with him by serving his instructions. And so, almost 40 years after his Guru Maharaj disappeared, Srila Prabhupada was pleased to offer him the translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In other words, the relationship was not diminished by the passage of time, because the association of Vani continues eternally. In Srila Prabhupada's dedication to his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote, "To my eternal spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, he lives eternally by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him." So we never have to feel bereft of the association of the spiritual master or the parampara, because their association is always available through their words, Vani. And as Srila Prabhupada wrote, we must take advantage of the Vani. For example, Srila Prabhupada's Vani is available in his books. So we have to take advantage of his books. If we don't read his books, if we don't study his books, if we don't discuss his books, how will we have his association? And we want his association. There was one householder devotee in England who told me that he was very concerned about his son, not only his son, but so many members of the congregation. But in particular, he was concerned about his son, because his son was very focused on his immediate authority in Krishna consciousness, whom he accepted as his spiritual master. And his father was concerned that he should develop his relationship with Srila Prabhupada, that everything in ISKCON is the result of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's disciples themselves are the result of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And he felt that his son should have a tangible, proper, substantial relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So he sort of prevailed upon him to start listening to Srila Prabhupada's tapes systematically and to begin reading Srila Prabhupada's books systematically. And that boy started to awaken his relationship with Srila Prabhupada in a very tangible way. He hadn't understood it before. He hadn't understood that he could have a real, substantial, tangible relationship with Srila Prabhupada, even in Srila Prabhupada's physical separation, by hearing Srila Prabhupada's words, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And then Srila Prabhupada started to come in his dreams. The boy is very pure, very, very pure. He, in his teens, he went to Vrindavan and joined the 24-hour kirtan party, and he was ready to live the rest of his life in Vrindavan, just chanting the holy name. And he was a very good mridanga player, in particular. So he had a dream, and in the dream, Srila Prabhupada was sitting on his Vyasasan in Vrindavan while the 24-hour kirtan was performing, including the boy. And many devotees have had the same type of dream in which the deity of Srila Prabhupada comes to life. And so in the young man's dream, the deity of Srila Prabhupada came to life, and Srila Prabhupada told the boy that it is very good that you are engaged in the 24-hour kirtan, but if you perform for the sake of attracting women, you will go to hell. So the boy took the dream as very real, and he took the instruction to heart. Of course, it's a fact what Srila Prabhupada said. So it's just an example of how we can establish our relationship with Srila Prabhupada or any of the previous acharyas, for that matter, through vani, through hearing the words, through reading the books. Srila Prabhupada would take rest at about 10 o'clock at night, and then he would wake up at about midnight after only 2 hours, and he would translate while practically everyone else was sleeping. He was translating for us. He was translating so that we would have these books to study and apply. So it is our duty, I mean, it is our privilege, it is a blessing, but it is also our duty to read the books. Otherwise it means that Srila Prabhupada was wasting his time writing books for us, and we don't even care enough to reciprocate and make the effort to study his books. So, and as Srila Prabhupada said, that we should not only distribute his books, but we should also read them. He said of his devotees that Sankirtan will keep them happy, and reading his books will keep them. So we shall continue. In this connection, we may call to memory the time when I was fortunate enough to meet His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada sometime in the year 1922. Srila Prabhupada had come to Calcutta from Sridham Mayapur to start the missionary activities of the Gaudiya Mutt. He was sitting in a house at Ultadunga when, through the inducement of an intimate friend, the late Sriman Narendranath Mullick, I had the opportunity to meet His Divine Grace for the first time. I do not remember the actual date of the meeting, but at that time I was one of the managers of Dr. Bose's laboratory in Calcutta. I was a newly married young man, addicted to Gandhi's movement and dressed in khadi. Fortunately, even at our first meeting, His Divine Grace advised me to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English in the Western countries, because at that time I was a complete nationalist, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi's. I submitted to His Divine Grace that unless our country were freed from foreign subjugation, no one would hear the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously. Of course, we had some argument on this subject, but at last I was defeated and convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the only panacea for suffering humanity. I was also convinced that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in the hands of a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. I could not, however, immediately take up his instructions to preach. But I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute his order, although I was quite unfit to do so. Srila Prabhupada explained that he was the leader of his circle of friends. And thus when Narendranath Malik met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted our Srila Prabhupada also to meet him, to give his verdict about him. Srila Prabhupada also described how across from his home in Calcutta, there was a large building with many rooms, and many men were living in that building. And during the day, they would go out and earn money, and then in the evening, they would come back and cook and eat their dinner and go to sleep. And then the next morning, they would again go out to earn money and come back in the evening. And among them, there was someone. He, in the morning, before going out, he would put on the robes of a sadhu. And he would also go out, collect some money, come back, take off his robes, eat with the other karmis, go to sleep, get up in the morning, and go out again. So Srila Prabhupada said, and many sadhus would come to his home, to his father's home, and as Srila Prabhupada said, he was not very satisfied with their dealings. And so when his friend invited him to meet the sadhu, he was not very eager to go, because he thought, as there are so many bogus sadhus who are cheating people, this might be another bogus sadhu who is cheating innocent people. So he didn't want to go. But his friend insisted. And ultimately, Srila Prabhupada relented. He agreed and he went and met his eternal spiritual master, His divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Saraswati Thakur was sitting on a raised platform, maybe on a cot that was set up as an asan, and everyone else was sitting down. But there was some other seats, and Srila Prabhupada sat up. And as Srila Prabhupada says, at the very first meeting, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ordered him to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language throughout the world. And Srila Prabhupada, as a nationalist, as a follower of Mahatma Gandhi's, gave the argument that who will listen to India's message, who will listen to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message when India is still under foreign subjugation. Even uncivilized countries like Japan have political independence. So first India should gain political independence, and then people will be ready to hear the message of Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not accept our Srila Prabhupada's argument. He said that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is transcendental. It will act independent of factors such as political independence or dependence, and the world needs the knowledge now. We cannot wait for India's independence. We must present the message now. And Srila Prabhupada said that he was defeated in argument by his Guru Maharaj. He said that he had never before been defeated in any argument. But now he had been defeated by his Guru Maharaj, and he was happy that he had been defeated by his Guru Maharaj. But as Srila Prabhupada has described, he was newly married, and had a small child, and so he could not take up the order of his spiritual master immediately. But he kept the instruction in his heart, and he was always thinking when he would be able to take up the order. This is an important instruction for us. That if, due to circumstances, we are unable to take up an instruction from the spiritual master, we should always keep the instruction in our heart and think of how we can execute the order. Pray to be able to execute the order and wait for the opportune moment when we will be able to do so. I myself had an interaction with Srila Prabhupada in which he enunciated the same principle in 1971 in Gorakhpur. We were staying as guests of Sri Hanuman Prasad Poddar and the Gita Press. In fact, we were staying in what had been Mr. Poddar's personal residence or estate, Sri Krishna Niketan. And during that period, a new issue of Back to Godhead magazine arrived, and the issue had an article by me. Srila Prabhupada read the article and called for me. And he said, "I've read your article. It is very nice. You should write." And he said, "You can travel with me and I will personally instruct you how to write." Some days later, one of the leaders, one of the senior devotees, Hansaduta, he wanted to begin his world Sankirtan party. And he asked Srila Prabhupada if he could have me to go with him on his party. And Srila Prabhupada said yes. I was a little disappointed that I wasn't going to travel with Srila Prabhupada and get personal instructions on how to write. But I had faith that whatever Srila Prabhupada did was ultimately the best for all concerned. So I accepted the decision to go with Hansaduta. And we are talking about a period of time before computers. We're talking about a period of time in India when even typewriters were rare. If you needed some document typed, you'd have to go to the court and find someone outside the courtroom to type your document. The method of writing was pen and paper. So when I got the instruction from Srila Prabhupada to write, I went out and bought some lined paper and pens. But traveling with Hansaduta, there was not much time. It was a very busy schedule we had. going to Agra and Aligarh. And then we got a telegram. Hansaduta Prabhu got a telegram from Srila Prabhupada saying that we are planning a big pandal program in Bombay. Come with party immediately. So we all packed up and came to Bombay. And in Bombay, Shamsundar Prabhu was the temple president. He had a meeting with everyone to divide up the duties, and he asked me to collect advertisements for the souvenir to raise funds for the pandal program. I told him that Srila Prabhupada had instructed me to write as my main business. Shamsundar Prabhu said, "You can write any time, but this is a special occasion. One time we can go into any man's office in Bombay and ask him to give an advertisement for the souvenir, and we need to get advertisements to raise funds for the pandal. So do this now, and you can take up your writing later." So I thought that what Shamsundar Prabhu said made sense, and I also knew that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to cooperate with our authorities. So I agreed. Then, some days later, Srila Prabhupada arrived, and as usual, he came into his room. All the disciples filled up the room, and he would glance around the room looking at each disciple, maybe exchanging some few words. And then he came to me and he said, "So, Giriraj, how is your writing going?" And I was completely flustered. I didn't know what to say. I wanted to speak, but nothing clear was coming out. So Prabhupada said, "Okay, we'll discuss later." Then, a little later, he called for me. It was just him and me in the room. Said, "So, what about your writing?" So I was very anxious, means in anxiety, because I wasn't sure if I had done the right thing. But I explained what Shamsundar Prabhu had said and how it made sense to me. And I also mentioned how Srila Prabhupada wanted us to cooperate with our authorities, and he wanted me to collect, so I thought I should cooperate. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, "Did I do the right thing?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "One can suspend temporarily the order of the spiritual master, but one can never neglect it." And then he gave his own example. Like me, my Guru Maharaj also instructed me to write. But I'm so busy traveling in India, I hardly have time to write. He said, you can suspend the order of the spiritual master, but you can never neglect it. So here Srila Prabhupada says that I could not, however, immediately take up his instructions to preach, but I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute his order, although I was quite unfit to do so. In this way, I passed my life as a householder until 1950, when I retired from family life as a vanaprastha, with no companion. I loitered here and there until 1958, when I took sannyas. Then I was completely ready to discharge the order of my spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada has described how he would have dreams in which his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, would come to him and call him to follow him. And Srila Prabhupada would wake up in anxiety, because he would think, oh, Guru Maharaj is calling me to follow him. He wants me to preach. He wants me to leave my family. And Prabhupada was in a sort of panic, because he was thinking, how can I leave my family? How can I live alone? Then one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, another disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, His Holiness Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, encouraged him that you should take sannyas. You cannot really take up the order of Guru Maharaj to preach unless you take sannyas. And when that godbrother passed away in 1968, Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice talk about him, saying how that godbrother had forced him to take sannyas. And then he said, actually, he did not force me to take sannyas. My Guru Maharaj forced me to take sannyas through my godbrother. So this is another instruction that a sincere disciple can receive instructions from his spiritual master through others. Srila Prabhupada took it that my Guru Maharaj forced me to take sannyas through my godbrother. I had one exchange here that suggested the same idea. At the time, Srila Prabhupada was staying upstairs in his new quarters, and he was very ill. He was not meeting anyone. He was hardly speaking. He was hardly eating. And no one was allowed to see him. Tamal Krishna Goswami was Srila Prabhupada's personal secretary. And one morning, and so he would sit in the front room. And beyond the front room was the library room, so that that door was closed, and then inside was Prabhupada's quarters, and all the doors were always kept closed. And all the devotees were told to speak very quietly so as not to disturb Srila Prabhupada. I came up to report to Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he gave me some checks and the bank deposit slip and told me to write out the deposit slip and deposit the checks in, I guess, Srila Prabhupada's account. So, at the time, I had, not only then, even now, but at the time I had my false ego. But I was calculating, I was trying to be practical, I was calculating. So I said to Tamal Krishna Goswami, I'm the temple president. There are so many things I can do that others cannot do. But there are others who can make the deposit. So why should I make the deposit? There are others who can make the deposit. Meanwhile, Srila Prabhupada pressed his buzzer to call us. So we were elated because, wow, Prabhupada is ringing the bell. We get to see Srila Prabhupada, which was very rare, even for his personal secretary. So we went around, rushed into the room, offered our obeisances. And Srila Prabhupada looked at me and said, if the spiritual master wants you to go to the bank and you refuse, where is the surrender? Now, this was a very mysterious incident because, as I mentioned, there were two rooms between where we were and where Srila Prabhupada was. And the doors were closed, and we were speaking in hushed tones. We were whispering because we didn't want to disturb Srila Prabhupada. So at the time, I thought Srila Prabhupada must have read my mind. Although later, when I described the incident to our god brother Tejas Prabhu, Tejas Prabhu gave the opinion that Srila Prabhupada had highly acute senses and that he could hear something that no one else could hear. We could be whispering, no one else could hear it, but because of his highly attuned senses, he could have heard the discussion. But in any case, the real point is not that Prabhupada knew that I was arguing with Tamal Krishna Goswami. The real instruction came in the statement, if the spiritual master asks you to go to the bank and you refuse, Where is the surrender? Now, for years, I took it that, and I think it is the correct understanding, that Srila Prabhupada, ultimately Srila Prabhupada was asking me to go to the bank through Tamal Krishna Goswami. I was thinking, we're both God brothers. I mean, yeah, maybe he's a little more senior, but we're both God brothers. He can't really tell me what to do. And I'm the temple president. And, I have my authority. Means I have my own authority as temple president. But Srila Prabhupada was saying that, what he said, if the spiritual master asks you to go to the bank and you refuse, where is the surrender? He wanted me to understand that he could be giving me orders or instructions through others. That the orders or instructions didn't have to come through him directly. And he manifested that mood in relation to his god brother, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, that my Guru Maharaj forced me to take sannyas through my god brother. After Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed away, I started the fortnightly magazine Back to Godhead sometime in 1944 and tried to spread the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through this magazine. After I took sannyas, a well-wishing friend suggested that I write books instead of magazines. Magazines, he said, might be thrown away, but books remain perpetually. Here's another example. He took the advice of his friend very seriously, because his friend's advice was in support of his spiritual master's instruction to him. Then I attempted to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Before that, when I was a householder, I had written on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and had completed about 1,100 pages, but somehow or other the manuscript was stolen. In any case, when I had published Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, in 3 volumes in India, I thought of going to the USA. By the mercy of His divine grace, I was able to come to New York on September 17, 1965. Since then, I have translated many books, including Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary, and many others. In the meantime, I was induced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time in later life, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would simply read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn the Bengali language to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work on this translation began about 18 months ago. Now, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. In this connection, I have to thank my American disciples, especially Sriman Pradumya Das Adhikari, Sriman Nitai Das Adhikari, Sriman Jayadvaita Das Brahmachari, and many other boys and girls who are sincerely helping me in writing, editing, and publishing all these literatures. So he translated 17 volumes in 18 months. That's one volume a month. No one can do that. No ordinary human being can do that. And while it was happening, Srila Prabhupada was chiding us, like anything, for not bringing out the books. He had the manuscripts ready, but the books were not being published. So he told Rameshwar Prabhu, who was the head of the BBT in Los Angeles, that he wanted all these volumes published, I think in 4 months. Only maybe two or three had been published, so there were 14 volumes left. And Rameshwar, using material calculation, said, "It is impossible." Srila Prabhupada replied, "Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary." Then Rameshwar said, "Well, what if we can't do it?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Disqualified." In other words, if you can't do it, you're not qualified to be in charge of the BBT, and we'll have to find someone else. So they surrendered to the order, and it is said that when the spiritual master gives an instruction, the power to execute the order comes with it, and the devotees totally surrendered to the instruction. They reorganized the BBT, and they were working day and night, hardly eating or sleeping, and they did it. They did it. Here too, it's not exactly the same, but it's really very similar. Srila Prabhupada had the design for the temple, and he kept complaining that the work was going too slow. So I was bringing people from the construction line to meet Srila Prabhupada. And finally I brought Mr. G. L. Raheja, who was a big builder in the suburbs. And Srila Prabhupada showed him the plans, the blueprints, and he said, "I want this temple complex finished in 6 months. Do you think it could be done in 6 months?" Mr. Raheja said yes. So Prabhupada said okay. Now, it's a long story, but ultimately it was built in 2 years and 8 months. And during that process, we felt that we were doing nothing. Prabhupada was constantly asking us, why is it going so slow? Why is it going so slow? Why is it going so slow? Now, when people hear that this huge temple was built in 2 years and 8 months, they think, that's really fast. How could you build it so quickly? But in Srila Prabhupada's presence, it was not fast. It was way too slow, way too slow. What I'm saying is that, Srila Prabhupada could do things that no human being could do, and he gave us instructions that were beyond our capacity. But if we surrendered to his instructions and tried our best, sincerely, with intelligence, we could do things that would be very difficult for ordinary people to do. Now we come to the penultimate paragraph. And this is revolutionary. So please listen with rapt attention. I think that His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by His words. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His Paramatma feature, is always sitting with all His devotees and associates. So we all accept that Krishna is in the heart. It's a basic instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivisto. But here, Srila Prabhupada says that his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was guided by his spiritual master within the heart. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada received the instruction to write in English from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he kept that instruction in his heart. But here, Srila Prabhupada seems to be saying more, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is actually sitting in his heart as one of the associates of the super soul within the heart. And from within the heart, he can give active, dynamic guidance. Now, this subject is discussed in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in relation to the disappearance of the spiritual master. It's actually a metaphor that a king and his wife entered the Vanaprastha ashram, and they went into the forest, and the king died, leaving his widow alone. So figuratively, the king is the spiritual master, and the widow is the disciple. And after the king died, an old friend came to the widow. And the old friend, who came in the form of a Brahmin, is considered to be the super soul, or a representative of the super soul. So there's a lot of discussion how one can get guidance from the spiritual master after the disappearance of the spiritual master. The widow was ready to enter into fire, sati. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this means that the spiritual master should be ready to lay down his life for the mission of the spiritual master. When the disciple is ready to take up the order of the spiritual master or the mission of the spiritual master, without any personal consideration of personal gain or loss, and is ready to lay down one's life to execute the order of the spiritual master, or in other words, he would rather die than fail to execute the order of the spiritual master. At that time, the spiritual master appears to the disciple to give him instruction. It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master. Because personally I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. There was another time when Srila Prabhupada was being interviewed by a newspaper reporter in America, and Prabhupada had published so many books in such a short time. So Srila Prabhupada was saying that actually he didn't write the books, but actually Krishna wrote the books. Now one of Prabhupada's disciples, so the newspaper reporter was a little confused. Like, what does that mean that Krishna wrote the books? So one of Prabhupada's disciples wanted to make it easier for the reporter to understand. So he told the reporter that actually what Prabhupada means is that Krishna gave him the intelligence to write the books. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, Krishna wrote directly. And Srila Prabhupada would read his own books. Any ordinary author, as soon as he writes a book, that's the end of it. He doesn't read the book that he wrote, he'll go on to the next book. But Srila Prabhupada would read his own books. So what author reads his own books? Only if the subject is transcendental will an author read his own books. And Srila Prabhupada once, Shrutakirti Prabhu went into Srila Prabhupada's room when Srila Prabhupada was reading Krishna book. Just in his spare time, he was reading Krishna book. And Srila Prabhupada said that these books are so wonderful, if you just read this book, Krishna, you can become completely Krishna conscious. And then he said, not even the whole book. If you read just one chapter, you can become completely Krishna conscious. And then he said, not even one chapter. If you read one page, you can become completely Krishna conscious. Not even a page. If you read just one paragraph, you can become completely Krishna conscious. Not even a paragraph. If you read just one sentence, you can become completely Krishna conscious. Not even a full sentence. If you read just one word, you can become completely Krishna conscious. Because these books are Krishna. They're written by Krishna or Krishna's pure devotees. And they are Krishna. You're associating with Krishna. By associating with Krishna, you can become fully Krishna conscious, which is what we are meant to do. It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master. Because personally, I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to His Divine Grace. Prabhupada is not taking any credit for himself, he's giving all credit to his spiritual master. Certainly, if His Divine Grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though He is not physically present, I am confident that He is very much pleased by this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has been formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, we come back to the theme of the order of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada began by saying that he translated Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita under the authorized instruction of his spiritual master. Now he's saying that he formed the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to execute the order of his spiritual master and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what order? The order to print and distribute books. There are other orders, of course, but specifically, Prabhupada is focusing on the order to print and distribute books. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world enjoy this translation. The same thing. We shouldn't just distribute the books, but we should read them. We should relish them. We should enjoy them. We should make ourselves one with them. And I am glad to express my gratitude to the learned men in the Western countries who are so pleased with my work that they are ordering in advance all my books that will be published in the future. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples who are determined to help me in this work, and we're all disciples, Shiksha disciples, some Diksha, but Shiksha disciples. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples who are determined to help me in this work to continue their cooperation fully, so that philosophers, scholars, religionists, and people in general all over the world will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, dated November 10th, 1974, at the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Hare Krishna Land, Juhu, Bombay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust ki jai, Hare Krishna Land ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. So it is very good that today is Ekadasi, because we don't have to worry about prasad. We can follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction or Rupa Goswami's instruction that on Ekadasi one should spend the day and night chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. But still, I do not want to cause any disturbance. So I will limit the questions and answers according to my discretion. So if any of you, because it's a very important subject and it's a very special day. So if any of you do have any questions or comments, you can raise your hands. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
What is your good name?
Premanjan Das.
Premanjan Das?
Yes. The question is that I have never seen Srila Prabhupada, most of us. So how can we have a strong attachment with him? How can we love him? How can we serve him more and more? And how can we know more about him? Since we have never seen him physically present. But we have his books with us, of course. But, you know, it makes a difference. Physical presence and books make a difference. Because it's, you know, there is some difference. Because if suppose we are talking and on the same place I'm reading your books, so that makes a difference. So, feeling.
That's true. That's true. So your question is how to increase your attachment for Srila Prabhupada.
Sometimes, right now, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada are also present, but maybe after 20 years or 30 years, there would be no one. So who would guide us who has never seen Srila Prabhupada?
Yeah. Well, like you said, there's the books, there's the recorded talks and conversations. There are also books about Srila Prabhupada, like Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Everyone should read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Yadubara Prabhu has put together a very nice video series called Following Srila Prabhupada with all the live footage of Srila Prabhupada. And some live sound where possible, but otherwise memories from devotees who are personally there. It's also very important. Another disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Siddhanta Das, he's brought out a series remembering Srila Prabhupada, where disciples share memories of Srila Prabhupada. And then well, you hinted that the direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada who've imbibed his mood and are following his instructions, by their association you can get a sense of Srila Prabhupada. But you're right, there is a difference between books and physical presence. In fact, there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that by serving the book Bhagavat or the person Bhagavat, one gets the same result. And one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada if one is better than the other. And Srila Prabhupada said, the person Bhagavat is better than the book Bhagavat, because the person Bhagavat can catch you by the ear. Of course, the theme of the concluding words is that the book Bhagavat is better because the books continue perpetually. So in that sense, the book Bhagavat is better. But in another sense, the person Bhagavat is better. Yes. I'll read it.
Krishna? Maharaj's question is, first of all, he mentions that it was a very nice Krishna Katha. He says that we know that we have to give importance to the instructions of the spiritual master or the orders of our authorities, which sometimes seem to be different and contrary to each other. And we are always fearful if we try to follow the orders of our spiritual master. That in fulfilling the orders of the authority, we somehow fail to follow the orders of our spiritual master, then what?
This is a very intelligent question. And the situation that the question asks about took place in Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Swayambhuva Manu, the first Manu in this period of time, had a son named Priyavrata. Narada Muni instructed Priyavrata that he should not marry, but he should dedicate himself fully to spiritual life. But Swayambhuva Manu wanted Priyavrata to marry and take charge of the kingdom, because Swayambhuva Manu himself wanted to retire, to enter Vanaprastha Ashram, and he needed Priyavrata to manage the kingdom. Now, both were authorities. Not only was Swayambhuva Manu Priyavrata's father, but he is also one of the Mahajans, one of the 12 Mahajans. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Manu is one of the 12. So Priyavrata was in a dilemma, because he received one instruction from one bona fide authority and he received a different instruction from another bona fide authority. What to do? So it was a very tense situation. Then Lord Brahma came personally. Lord Brahma is also a Mahajan, Swayambhu. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kapila, Manu. And he was superior to both, because he's the father of Manu and Narada. So he told Priyavrata that he should marry because his father wants to renounce his material responsibilities and dedicate himself to God. And Priyavrata was in a dilemma. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the disciple must be intelligent enough to reconcile different instructions from bona fide authorities, from the spiritual master and the grand spiritual master. As Narada was his spiritual master, Brahma was his grand spiritual master. So what did Priyavrata do? Externally, he got married and took charge of the kingdom, but internally, he remained detached. Like what we read earlier, and discussed earlier, although he could not immediately execute the order to renounce material responsibilities, he always kept it in his heart, and he was awaiting the time when he could take up the order. And then when he was sufficiently old, and there were others to take charge of the kingdom, he and his wife, who had faithfully assisted him, they renounced their material responsibilities. I mean, in a way it's all spiritual, but they renounced their material responsibilities and fully absorbed themselves in God. And the Bhagavatam describes that at the end, Priyavrata went back home, back to Godhead. And his wife also went back home, back to Godhead. So, as Srila Prabhupada said, the disciple has to be intelligent enough how to reconcile different bona fide instructions from different bona fide authorities, and somehow fulfill the demands of all the instructions and all the authorities. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. In your lecture throughout you have used the title Srila before Prabhupada. That honorific title is most of the times missed by various other lecturers. So this shows the deeper reverence, and others also are supposed to use Srila before uttering the word Prabhupada. That is my comment, no question.
Well, I feel more comfortable using the word, the honorific Srila. In the early days of the movement, we used to call Prabhupada Swamiji. But then he commented that Swamiji is not a very good term. So then we started to call him Prabhupada. But then the Srila got added, so it became Srila. So I'm used to that culture. And I feel it is more respectful. But I would hesitate to judge someone on the basis of whether he says Srila or doesn't say Srila. But it is more respectful.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, like in this particular description you talk about surrender, that how Prabhupada emphasized regarding surrender. Like in Bhagavad Gita there is a verse that in surrendering one should not fear. So can you explain that, like even Priyavrata was fearing in his surrender. So is there a role of fear in surrendering, or one should not at all fear? How it should be?
Well, yes, Krishna says Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sarnam Vraja, surrender unto me. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshi Simi, I will free you from all sinful reactions. Ma Suchaha, do not fear. So we should not have fear that Krishna will not protect us if we surrender to Him. We should not have fear that if we are following the orders of Krishna and perhaps neglecting some mundane duties, we should not fear that we are doing the wrong thing or that we will suffer. But we should be afraid of deviating from Krishna's instructions. Or in other words, we should be afraid of Maya. So that type of fear is healthy. But we should not be afraid that if we surrender to Krishna, we will lose. We should not have that fear. But the surrender has to be genuine, which means there must be sincerity and intelligence. Surrender to Krishna doesn't mean that we sit down and do nothing and wait for Krishna to put food in our mouth. Yes, we do depend on Krishna for our necessities, but we do our duty and depend on Krishna for the result. If we neglect our duty in the name of depending on Krishna, then that is not actual surrender. We do our duty and depend on Krishna. Only when one is in the Paramahamsa stage is he considered completely transcendental to one's duties in Varna and Ashram, and then he can just chant Hare Krishna and just depend completely on Krishna. But preachers like Srila Prabhupada, even if they're on the most advanced stage, but when they take responsibility to preach, they act like Madhyam Bhaktas and to set the example for others. Yes.
His question is, when we want to follow the instructions of spiritual master wholeheartedly, but seeing the current environment of ISKCON, where there are many gurus who are having many disciples, we see that sometimes there is politics which is involved and there is partiality. So how should we respond to such a situation?
What was the first part?
He's saying that...
Oh, yes. In the nectar of devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes, Rupa Goswami writes, that the nectar of devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, will deal with principles, but not with details. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example that to follow the orders of the spiritual master is a principle. That one spiritual master's orders differ from another spiritual master's orders is a detail. In other words, it happens that one spiritual master will give a different instruction and another spiritual master will give another instruction. But that's a detail. But the principle is that we should follow the order of the spiritual master. Now coming back to the other example of Priyavrata, Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya, and at either the spiritual master or grand spiritual master of the devotees. So we should follow Srila Prabhupada, but then Srila Prabhupada also told us we should follow his representatives. That's also following Srila Prabhupada. Like Srila Prabhupada told me to write, and Shyamasundar Prabhu told me to collect. But Prabhupada also said to follow his representative. So Shyamasundar was his representative. He was the temple president. So by following him, I was following Srila Prabhupada's other instruction to follow his appointed representative. So somehow we have to reconcile these things. As far as partiality, that's material. I mean, why should that bother you? Yeah. Well, that's I mean, in principle, you know, the authorities should be impartial. They shouldn't favor, you know, their disciples. You know, but my question to you is, why does it bother you? Like Bhakti Tirtha Swami, you know Bhakti Tirtha Swami? He was born in a black body. And he told Srila Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON is a spiritual movement. It's supposed to be a spiritual movement, but I hate to say it, but there's prejudice even in ISKCON. They have prejudice against black devotees. And Srila Prabhupada replied that if you identify yourself as a black devotee and get disturbed by the prejudice against black devotees, you're the same as they are. Do you understand? Oh, you mean you get fear if you don't follow your spiritual master's order completely? In what situation? Say in Hindi and say in Hindi in the microphone.
He is saying like spiritual master gives us instruction, but then because of some kind of politics and prejudice, we are not able to follow completely. So it leads to a fear in the heart. So what should we do in such a situation?
Well, to be given contradictory instructions by superior authorities is a difficult situation to be in. The best thing would be if the superior authorities discuss between themselves and they together come to a conclusion for you that they both agree upon. You understand? So one approach, again, I don't know how practical it is, but one approach would be, you say, Guru Maharaj, you're telling me one thing and the other authority is telling me something else. I'm in a very awkward situation. Or you tell the other authority, you're telling me something and my Guru Maharaj is telling me something else. So I'm in a very awkward position. So the two of you, please discuss what you want me to do. And when the two of you agree, let me know what you want me to do and I will be happy to do whatever you tell me. That would be the best thing. Otherwise you're caught in between. I don't know how practical it is, but that would be ideal. In relation to your point about Srila Prabhupada's hearing your discussion with Tamal Krishna Goswami, you had a realization in Srila Prabhupada's final days where you had a desire in the heart and Srila Prabhupada was very ill and reciprocated. Can you elaborate on this incident? I can, but I will not do so now because this question is not really on the subject of the class, or is it? Yeah, but
like here, there was some whispering going on, so the people said that maybe Prabhupada could hear. And in that case, without even the spiritual master knows the desire, and even that state he could, he reciprocated.
Well, that's true, but what is the question?
Like, I don't know the exact incident.
I don't know what incident you're referring to. But there are... devotees would have hundreds of incidents, thousands of incidents. How the spiritual master reciprocated without the disciple saying anything. It happens all the time. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.